You know, so many times we think prayer is something that you can hear and everything, but really, it's the power of a crying heart for the fullness of God. So in that, I want you to take 2 minutes. Do not verbalize it, except from your heart. As we talked about that song, How God Loves Us, now let's each and every one of us tell Him from our hearts how much we love Him. So let's take a couple of minutes. Let that cry of a silent prayer come forth from each of our hearts. Oh, Father, we do just love you. Lord, I pray that we pray a violent, crying, silent prayer every day for the rest of our lives. One, telling you how much we love you and declare your greatness and goodness. That the cry of our silent prayers would start changing the atmosphere of our families, our workplace, and cities. And then you get all the credit because nobody can say, well, I heard you pray that prayer. Really, then you start getting all the glory. Forgive us, Lord, as pastors and Christians, we have taken some of the glory over the years. And we say, Lord, let us be a people that give you the glory, because it really is all about you. And we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to co-labor with you to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you, one of the main big part of the culture of this house will be worship and prophetic worship and prayer. And I encourage you to turn on ihop.org as let the culture and the nature of that just gather your heart. And I'm like everybody else. If one of the sets isn't good, they have the archives there. And so I have all of the ones that I know are very, very good or that really touch my heart. Because you see, one of those may touch your heart. Like, I love the intercession sets. They have worship in the Word, the devotional set, and the intercession set. Well, guess which one is my favorite? Intercession set. My wife's is the devotional set. And so it pretty much describes our nature of how God's wired each and every one of us. But go there. Take time and slow down. I think we'd be amazed. God might start getting some of us up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You'll be able to run the race even stronger than if you slept until 6. Well, that's the quickest David Mazden's ever looked at me when I said 4 o'clock in the morning. He whipped his neck around like, man, 4 in the morning. I only knew there was one time at 4, and that was in the afternoon. So, well, anyway, well, it's great to have each and every one of you. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring your Bibles. Again, we're going to have the scriptures overhead, but, I mark up my Bible, and sometimes we'll forget to go home and mark up in our Bible a revelation that God may have shown you. So I encourage you to bring your Bibles. I know some of you have them on the iPhone. Well, then make a note on your iPhone note. So anyway, but Matthew 16:13. And as you turn there, there was an article in the paper, I think it was yesterday, and Nancy made reference to it. And it talked about the murky waters. I didn't even read the article, just the murky waters so captured my heart. Because it really, I think, was a prophetic declaration of the murky waters that can be in mine in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit is, it's illustrated and it's a type and shadow when it talks about water. He's the pure part of the Trinity. Well, they're all pure of the Trinity, but He is the one that is represented by oil and water big time in Scripture. And let me tell you, there's nothing murky about the Holy Spirit. It's a pure love. And it's a pure truth. And that's what I want to hit on these next couple of weeks, are the very nature of unconditional love and the nature of a truth that liberates and brings forth freedom. And that I allow the murkiness. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. But my choices and decisions of how I love or how I receive or speak truth. But isn't it amazing that when before Christ returns, the very foundational power of people being able to speak truth and love will be made manifest on the earth. C and I both had something interesting happen this week. I had a couple of people come to our door, Jehovah Witnesses, who they have a truth, but it's not the truth. And she's tried to tell me at the door, and I love to talk to them, and we need to quit slamming the door in their faces and acting like they have leprosy. They're selling for a counterfeit. And she began to tell me at the door of how, well, when Jesus came, he was all inclusive, and he really included everybody. And, he didn't make any distinction in all the religions. And so I let her get through at their spiel. I said, well, ma'am, I totally disagree with that. He was very intentional, and he said that he was the only way, truth, and life unto the Father and into salvation. See, he goes to a meeting, a Metro Crest meeting, where they had a Unitarian person there, and they had a pluralism leader there, and they just talked about how we're all great. We're all working together and do what? Okay, I thought I was getting corrected, and I thought, well, that's either the Holy Spirit or my wife. Somebody said it funny. Nancy lost it a whole nother level. I knew it had to be Philip. So my wife just got me all off right now. Just okay. So, but they were talking about their truths, and it's so cool of how we're all, and this all in the political correctness that has seeped into the church, where we don't call sin, sin. We don't call that truth a counterfeit. That the true truth of who Jesus Christ is in this word says that it brings forth freedom. And so that's the pillars I want to hit on today, or the foundations. Again, let's read Matthew 16. I'm going to read some scriptures, because these last few weeks, the Lord's just been showing me the murkiness of love in my life. Of how we put restrictions on our love. If we sit here today and we have unforgiveness in our heart towards somebody, let me tell you, that's murky waters of love. We're going to really try to be a house that speaks what the Word says. Because Jesus is our standard of unconditional love. And from the cross of the ones who beat Him and crucified Him, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Does that sound like pretty pure love? But yet in churches all over our nation, we will sit Sunday after Sunday with unforgiveness towards people in that church or somebody in a church across the town, street. And those are the murky waters that I believe God so wants to deal with. Amen? Come on, man, get excited. It's a good word. It's a good word. Anytime God kind of corrects us, it's good at times. At least I'm being corrected in the way that I love. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, revelation. And upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, that means all the powers of hell will not conquer it. How many of us have hell conquering some areas of our life? I believe if we will start living according to His love and His truth, doesn't mean that you're going to have, that you won't have some tribulation, but I guarantee you they'll quit conquering our lives. Come on now, that's a good word. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. What I just want to talk about real quickly again is to remind us, we all need to be rising up and reading and crying out for the apostolic prayers. Again, you can go to ihop.org, and next week I'll have a copy of all of them. We even have some out here, the apostolic prayers. Those apostolic prayers were inspired by the Holy Spirit to be given to Paul, to be given to others in the New Testament church. And let me tell you, we all need to be reading Ephesians 1 of that prayer segment of 17 through 21 and Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 in particular, where we're all asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him to come deeper into our lives. So many of us have so much head knowledge of the kingdom of God or of His love here, but we are in desperate need of revelation deep within our heart. What Jesus is telling him here is that the Holy Spirit has released revelation to you, Peter, that flesh and blood has not been able to give. You didn't hear it because the synagogue teacher was doing a good job in the synagogue, but you received it because the Holy Spirit opened up the eyes of your heart and enlightened you to know that I'm the Son of the living God. How many of us start our day? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us start our day praying Ephesians 1, 17 through 21 over our lives? I encourage you to start it every day. I prayed it over your life today. Mike Bickle prayed it over your life. I love it on Sunday morning when Mike Bickle is the prayer guy at 6:30 on Sunday mornings. He doesn't always do it, but I'm telling you what, my opinion, there's nobody in this nation that prays like Mike Bickle. But he has prayed the apostolic prayer since 1982. It's amazing to see the depth and revelation. When you go back and even listen to some of his teachings back in the 80s, they are pale in comparison to the revelation that God has opened up almost 30 years later of revelation of these prayers in the Word. You get it? I mean, it's not enough to just know a little bit about the love of the Father. It's like, God, would you show me the inheritance of who you are? Would you show me the hope of your calling that you have for my life? Everybody, I mean, young people, when you walk around, you go, man, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? Go and read and declare Ephesians 1 over your life. God, that I'd know the hope of your calling for my life. If the Holy Spirit would take time to give these prayers to Paul and these apostles, shouldn't you and I be praying them today? I'm hoping I'm still around 30 years from now. But wouldn't it be amazing if this church started praying the apostolic prayers for the next 30 years? If you and I started praying these prayers. It says in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, remember, and I've shared this before, a torment of fear used to just kill me. Even when I got called into the ministry 22 years ago, this haunting and tormenting fear to even stand up here and speak in front of three people would terrify me. And that's the reason I force some of you up even today. Because you want me to tell you what it made me go home and do? Because it says in Scripture that perfect love casts out all fear, that tormenting fear. For 18 months straight, I turned to Ephesians 3. You don't have to turn there, but to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, where it says, Lord, let me know the height, the depth, the length, and the width of your love. Let me be rooted and grounded in your love. Amen. Amen. There you go. As little babes cry out. But isn't it amazing that was that you, Aaron? Man, that's amazing. You sound like a little baby. That's good. I love a small church right now. We can harass each other real well. And again, that's my most anointed gift. But, amen. But, David, is that, But isn't it amazing that as I prayed that every day, I had it in 3x5 cards in my car right in the deck. Never knew how fast I was going down the highway, but I could see my 3x5 card and just really crying out, God, I want to know your love. I want to be, because see, if we can't stand before a small group of people here, how are we going to be able to go out there and make a difference? When we can't stand and talk to Christians, how can we go out there and make a difference in a dark world to release the light? And it's the perfect love that casts out all fear. It's a perfect love that all of a sudden removes all hindrances out of our lives so that when we walk out there It displaces the darkness with the perfect light of the Father of glory. Amen. So I'm going to have you every apostolic prayer. I was going to have it to you this week and got a few things, a few irons in the fire kicking off this thing and different things going on. Because I believe we need to start praying them every day. That every good and fruitful work would come forth. Amen. So we need to pray for revelation. The word build means an architect, one to edify and build up. You see, when he releases revelation, he's the architect. And he knew I needed that fear removed out of my life. Some of you need shame removed out of your life. Some of you need anger. Whatever it is, he's the perfect architect, and he brings it by the revelation of his truth, because it's the truth of God that sets us free. Remember, the two pillars that we're working on these next few weeks is truth and love. And there has to be a generation that comes on the face of the earth that learns to speak truth and love to one another, and to speak truth and love to a society that's looking for answers. One of the things that has really, as C and I, you know, as one of our outreaches is to Harry Hines Boulevard in the Northwest Highway area. Only 6.6 miles away, as we are reaching out and ministering to prostitutes and men that are caught up in some really demonic activity, to be even be in a place like that. But about 2 weeks ago, my heart was broken to a whole nother realm when we read in the newspaper of a young girl, 21 years old, from Milwaukee, who was kidnapped and forced to come to this area and was forced to live in that area and do certain things totally against her will. And we keep thinking that this very sin nature is for Asia and all those other places, but yet the number two port city in the world of human sex slave trafficking is in Houston, Texas. The number 13 city in the world is in Atlanta, Georgia, and the church keeps sitting in our complacency, and I'm talking about my own life. You see, the love of Christ, when it's really illuminated my life, makes me get proactive. Well, it also had the address, because this precious girl was able to get away one day and go call the officials, the police. And they gave the address to the hotel that this precious girl had been at for ever, never said exactly how long. And I drove there, and it was 6.6 miles from right here in this parking lot. And I'm going, God, how did we allow our cities to become such full of debauchery? And God began to speak to me, because I didn't have love for the people in the ditch. That I had murky water of love. And as I sat there and as I looked at the different things going on in this area, and it's right off of I-35, and I started thinking of Cindy Jacobs' word 4 years ago that God was going to release an anointing of the highway of holiness, Isaiah 35, all up and down Highway 35 from the bottom of the state of Texas all the way to the top, that it would be known as a highway of holiness. And how many of us are praying for that every day? And I'm not trying to condemn you. The Holy Spirit just started asking me, Mike, when have you prayed that the highway of holiness would truly burn across this nation once again? And I started thinking of the things that I give my life to that allows darkness to have hold of in my family or on our cities. And as I sat down there and I pulled up underneath a shade tree and I was looking at everything going on and pimps and different things in that nature, as I sat there in that hotel deal, a little 19-year-old young boy came walking up to me by the name of Stephen, selling himself on the streets. And he says, could you give me some money? It's just 2 weeks ago. He said, could you give me some money? I'm really hungry. And he said, and could you give me some money for clothes? For I really want to get a better job. And my clothes are really bad and they smell real bad. And I sat there and I thought, God, how did I get so much to the way that it was all about church? And church is not a building, and I'm going to get to that to my next point. And I said, you know, Stephen, I won't give you money, but I'll go get you some food and I'll be right back. So I went and got him a Wendy's. I came back and I got to talk to him. And he's on the streets of our city, just 6.6 miles from this parking lot. And he's selling himself so he can even survive. And he's 19 years old. And God started speaking to me about the murkiness of my love. And how we're building church buildings, and I'm thankful that church buildings look nice. And it started reminding me of the book Radical that if you haven't read, I hope you read. Of how we're spending $12 million on a light system in our churches. But our cities, the lost in our cities are farther from the Lord than they were 2 years earlier. Where even Gallup poll this past year said that over the last 5 years, the attendance of the lost attending our churches on Christmas and Easter continued to decline. And so, as I sat there and I got to talk to Stephen, and number one, I started thinking about the 21-year-old girl from Milwaukee. I have a 21-year-old daughter. Now, I started putting faces out there that, as Zakiah told us from Turkey, pray for them like they're your son or daughter. Do we pray for our city like that? And this is what the Lord was speaking to me as I sat there in this parking lot. Do I pray for my city like that? And I'm digging into scriptures, and Colossians says, you don't have to turn there, but it says that the Holy Spirit was given to you so that you could have love for others. And I've thought, gosh, man, Lord, we've always made it about, Lord, love for me. And it's so illuminated in my heart. The Holy Spirit was given to me, not only for me to know the love of the Father, but for what? Love for others. Love for a young man by the name of Stephen who needs Jesus. What I told him after we got through talking and I encouraged him in some things of the Lord, I said, Stephen, you're going to see this car down here ever so often. When you see it, you come over and I'll go get you food. I'll try to bring you some money. I'll try to get you some money for clothes. I'll try to do this. I'll try to do that. And it's made me pray at a whole nother realm for my city. Do I have love? Are we even praying for our neighbors? Is the love of Christ compelling me to pray and love others? Agape love that is unconditional. Not the phileo love that's brotherly love that'll warm your heart in this moment of an hour and a half, but it'll cause us not to live different here by noon today. Amen? All right, let's keep going. So again, I asked the Lord to help me not lose it when I told a few of these stories, but you know, I guess he wanted me to be able to share that way. But the other thing I want us to see is church. It's not a building. When you look at the meaning, it's ecclesia. It means a spiritual house of a community of believers. And you see, we're all bent. It says in John 1:14, let me speed up my message real quick. But then, you know, that's kind of going against God's trying to get me to slow down. As soon as I said that, I mean, literally, the Holy Spirit goes, slow down. So he's got me in this huge extreme makeover of who I like to be, of going and moving and shaking. But in that, as we're a spiritual house, no, let me back. John 1:14-16, it talks about how Jesus came to the earth full of love and full of truth. It wasn't a half a tank. If you look at a car reading, a half a tank of truth and a half a tank of love. But it was a full tank of love, and it was a full tank of truth always. And he kept it there because of the times that he would have with his Father daily. And so I got to thinking, this is the image that we're made in, and to be in, and to represent. It says in, and so in that, we all have a little dysfunction in us. Jesus came full of love, full of truth. All of us came where we're 70% truth and 30% love, or 80% love and 20% truth. And what God does to us, he puts us in fires that grows our weakness to where we will grow into maturity of 100% love and 100% truth. It even says in 1 Peter 2 that he connects us like living stone to the cornerstone, him being the cornerstone, the one who is life of 100% truth and 100% love. Have you ever noticed that some of the people God will connect you to in living stones, if you're 80% truth, this hardcore bent truth, he'll connect you to people of mercy and love? And then we'll complain that God's connected us to those people? And it's God, the cornerstone, that knows exactly what you need to grow you into maturity. What we need to do is quit complaining when we start seeing that God's connected us to people who are very truth-oriented if we're love-oriented. And quit complaining when God connects us vice versa that way. There's a good chance that the very spouse that God connected you with is the very opposite in that capacity with you. Because he's teaching us how to step into the fire of the Holy Spirit and to mature and grow. Joseph was given a coat of many colors that was the love of an earthly father. When you read the story of Joseph, he is so arrogant in truth about his dreams that he has. Yeah, let me tell you something. Mom, Dad, you're going to bow down to me one day. I also saw these sheaves by now. All you brothers, you're going to bow down to me one day. Very truth-oriented. What does God do? Takes him bebopping out to where his brothers strip the earthly love of the father jacket off of him. Why? So that he would get the love of the father inward. A jacket that maybe nobody would ever see until it's manifested around 17 years later, when it would be seen of the way that he loved, of forgiving his brothers who had beaten him, stole that earthly father's jacket off, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. And when you read his life, he's still not getting all the love, because when he interprets the first dream, when you read the scripture, it's all about I, me, my. Toby Keith song. Want to talk about me? Want to talk about mine? For those who know country and western, thought I'd break it up. Come on with it. I like country and western, like rock and roll, like worship, so I'll just try to fit it all in there. You like it, brother? It is a good song. But it really does talk about who we are, sometimes. We want to talk about us. And then God puts us into those situations because Joseph wanted to talk about him. And then in the long process, he's forgiven his brothers because love's been worked out in him. If you're going through a fire right now in your relationship or in different things, I want to invite you to do something today. Ask God what he's trying to teach you. Because God has no problem ripping off the earthly garments that are put on us in the place of honor, so that something inward can be so worked out that we would be used as the second in command to feed an entire nation. What God tries to work out in us inward is so that the Stevens can be fed the love and the truth of Christ. Cities would be transformed because of that. Amen? That's pretty good. Come on, that's better than that. Come on. All right, just real closing, want to look at just a couple of scriptures as I want to continue to set things up for next week. Turn to Ephesians 4. Because I want to read where I believe the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing as we head to the end of the times, where truth and love will come to a place that it's going to be amazing. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. They're scripture of all three, that the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, Jesus Christ, gave gifts to the church. So these are the gifts that were given by Christ. So each of the Trinity have given gifts to the church. Again, it's a spiritual house of believers. It's not a building. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Each of these gifts, just like I preached a couple of months ago out of 1 Peter, that the gift we all have, that some of us have, it's a grace. It's a favor that God has taken from heaven and put in us. So these are people that have a supernatural grace from Jesus that can move and help equip the saints, because that's what it says they do. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up, bring forth the architecture work of the kingdom into the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the God's Son, that we will mature in the Lord. See, it's all about us maturing as sons and daughters in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature. God is trying to remove all the immaturity out of each and every one of our lives, like children. Are you tired of being 45 years old and acting like a child? Being 25 years old and acting like a child? God is all about wanting to grow us as mature men and women of God. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. What happens when we do that? For growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what the Lord, that's the government that God is seeking to have on the face of the earth. So in that, I wanted to hit more on love this Sunday, more than truth. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to close in this. When Jesus has the dialogue with Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, Lord, you know I do." "Well, feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, Lord, you know I do." "Well, then feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, gosh, God, why do you know? You know all things." He's so mad. In the original Greek writing, Jesus is saying, "Do you love me?" And Jesus' word of love is a word called agape, unconditional love. When Peter's responding back, it's the word phileo, where they get the city brotherly love, Philadelphia. Two totally different kingdoms, if you will. One love was what caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross, and it's caused you and I to be Christians as men and women of God. The other love will, again, warm our hearts for a moment, but it doesn't bring forth transformation. Agape love brings forth transformation. So let's look in what is known as the love chapter. And just you and the Holy Spirit, as I read these scriptures, is it phileo love in your life more, or is it agape love in your life? If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You see, agape love is patient and it's kind. Agape love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. How many of us is our love proud or rude? It does not demand its own way, it is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Stop right there. How many of us have offenses in our hearts for people And the enemy knows exactly how to play that tape recorder in your heart, your mind, and your emotions. He knows how to bring somebody. It may not be your mom or it may not be your spouse that's brought that wound in there, but it's something, a situation very, very similar. And the enemy knows how to start playing that recorder that you remember every offense, how they wounded you, how they hurt you, and you keep a record. In fact, we're not even going to forgive until they've met a standard of love or ask for forgiveness in some way. Husbands, wives, how are we doing on that? Does your wife or spouse, when you do wrong, do they have to meet a certain standard before you release that record of how they offended you? I always like it. Some of you, when I do talk about that, some of you start smiling at one another. It's good. It's good. So let's say it again. It keeps no record of being wronged. Do you think Jesus was wronged? But yet he kept no record of it. Here's how our standard's supposed to be. When our sins are forgiven by him, what does he say? As far as from the east to the west, I don't remember it. Can I tell you, and God does not have dementia or any of those issues. My 8-year drug addiction doesn't even remember it. I think what really touches the heart of God is when I'm, and what he remembers are the moments with a young man like Stephen. And those are the things he remembers about you and I. He doesn't remember your wrong, your sin, your hiccup from yesterday. As we repent, he forgives and remembers them no more. And what caught his heart today was your worship of him. We've got to change that thing where the enemy tries to tell us, oh no, God didn't forgive you. Yeah, he did when you repent. You and I don't have to live 1 second with shame or any of that stuff on us. He remembers your silent prayer of love that will move his heart throughout the entire day. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. How many of you, if your enemy at school or your fellow employee, when they suffer some consequences, your heart finds a little pleasure in that? That's phileo love and not agape love. Last but not least, love never gives up. It never loses faith. Agape love is always hopeful. And it endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. You see, living with phileo love is a childish thing. Now, we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. 3 things will last forever: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. May we be a house of believers that truly move in unconditional love. For you see, Scripture says that that kind of love covers over a multitude of sins. Every sin you and I ever committed, mankind ever committed, has been covered for those that allow and receive what Christ did. The most beautiful, perfect blanket, if you will, of comfort, love, acceptance, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, you name it. The nature of who God is that perfect love. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank you for your perfect love. We thank you that you're equipping us, Lord, to be released to care about others. As we head towards the summer, Lord, that I believe you're going to really put a cutting edge of love and truth on this house for evangelism. Lord, would you start us today to start noticing those people in our lives, even strangers who may be in the ditch. And Lord, I thank you that you've equipped us with every good and perfect gift to pull them up out. And may your true nature of love be released to those precious people. And Lord, would you release your perfect love to each and every person here in their families, in their cities. Lord, that your love would truly abound even more and more and more. And we ask these things in your name, Lord. Amen.